Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
You give the permission for the kid to have the feelings that they have.
Your child may be dealing with some difficult issues, and if you're not sure what to do to help, Dr. Kevin Lehman offers this suggestion on Focus on the Family Minute.
What we tend to do with kids is we tell them things like, honey, you shouldn't feel that way. As a caution to parents who are listening, never should on your kid. It really just essentially says you didn't measure up. You fell short.
Over and over.
You want to use that vitamin E, that encouragement. Honey, you know, I think I would feel just like you. Exactly like you. But you know what? I have the confidence in you. Now there's the high octane in the kid's emotional gas tank right there. I have the faith in you because I know you. And I know you have it within you to face that tough thing.
Your encouragement will go a long way with your children. Hear more from Dr. Lehman at FamilyMinute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
Garage door jamming? Time to call Hammond.
Hammond Overhead Door Company has the parts and expertise to repair any overhead door. From replacing weather stripping or garage door spring repair to programming garage door openers, their service teams are available for prompt dispatch to your home or business. Quality products and superior service. Hammond Overhead Door Company. Call 238-0524 or go to HammondOverheadDoor.com.
Garage door jamming? Time to call Hammond.
Hi, I'm Wesley Dawes with Stove and Spa Center, and it might be hot now, but winter is just around the corner. So Stove and Spa Center is having a huge 36th anniversary stove, insert, and fireplace sale. We're overstocked, so don't miss out on big savings on quality cast wood and gas stoves by Hearthstone. How would you like being warmer this next winter and save money too? It's possible with a gas or wood stove from Hearthstone. Hearthstone's highly efficient wood and gas stoves come in many styles to fit any home's decor. Save big on Hearthstone stoves and inserts during Stove & Spa Center's big sale. All the products we offer are on our website at stoveandspa.com. Save big on Hearthstone stoves during Stove & Spa Center's 36th anniversary sale going on right now. Don't miss out on all the special offers at Stove & Spa Center. 7485 El Camino Real, Atascadero, between Curb Rail and Moore Roads.
Paul Harvey's The Rest of the Story, brought to you by Frontier Floors and Window Coverings at 830 21st Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-7878 or online at frontierfloors.net.
The rest of the story. To envious outsiders, it appeared that Chet's life was one continuous party. As one employee observed, he wanted the best of everything. He wanted it served in the best manner. He might have added, as often as possible. Chet did indeed entertain lavishly and frequently with sparkling refinement and faultless taste. He conducted more than a dozen major celebrations every year and countless smaller ones. Now, some suggested it was merely Chet's way of sharing the good things in life, the things he appreciated most, the finest champagnes, the rarest wines, the most excellent cuisine, the most expensive cigars, and the most spirited music. And everywhere throughout the magnificent mansion in which he lived were flowers. Chet loved colorful flowers of all kinds, and he included those in his festivities in every imaginable way. At his dinner parties, each gentleman received a boutonniere. At each lady's plate was a bouquet of roses tied with satin ribbons, the centerpiece. From one such feast was particularly memorable. It was 4 feet long, almost 2 feet high, made of red and white carnations and honeysuckles and roses and crested with clusters of rare nun plant blossoms. They called it the Swinging Garden of Babylon. A table set for 60, while extraordinary by any other standards, was run-of-the-mill by Chet's. Likewise, a 21-course repast with a dozen varieties of wine, each served in a separate special glass. Chet was also an immaculate dresser, spent much time, much money on his apparel. He once tried on 20 pairs of trousers tailored to his measurements before selecting one perfect one. The society columns were fond of describing his fastidious attire, of depicting him as the consummate metropolitan gentleman, the wearer of silk scarf and pin, the member of clubs, at least those represented by well-bred, well-dressed New Yorkers. Indeed, Chet rarely dined any evening of the week in less than a tuxedo. So this was the man at the heart of the high life, which so impressed one generation 100 years ago, and yet only a few knew the rest of the story. What others saw as endless, joyous partying was, in fact, Chet's last fling. You see, Chet had a kidney disorder called Bright's disease. In those days, it was a sentence of death. And so, with but 2 or 3 years of life left, he would seek to submerge his personal tragedy in lights and in laughter. We might have known long ago, and yet so determined was Chet to conceal his condition from posterity, as well as from his own contemporaries, that on the day before he died, he ordered his personal papers burned, and he sent his son to supervise the burning. It was not frantic, selfish celebrating, you see. It was gallantry. It was Chet's gift to a nation then deeply in need of a robust, affirmative, high-spirited example. He served out his term of office. He lived not much beyond that, but for many years thereafter, some disdainfully recalled Chet, Chester Arthur, as the partying president who died young from living high. Well, now you know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by Buy the Book Heating and Air, your local reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely. I'm your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I'm also an investigative reporter with Cal Coast News. Go to Cal Coast News. There's a lot of great stories up right now. Today we're talking a lot about the election, more of the national issues. I generally have Mike Nolan, an attorney, and Eric Gorham on when we talk about these issues. And there has been so much going on. Actually, we could probably even start with the debate. Mike, what did you think about the debate, and were you surprised?
The debate again between the Trump and Vice President Harris?
Yes.
I wasn't surprised. I was surprised that the moderators were so one-sided. They would correct Trump, but they would not correct the vice president. And so I was a bit surprised at that. It's one thing to be to kind of let people know you're if you're the moderator that you're on one side or the other, but to do it rather blatantly was annoying. Put it that way. But Mr. Trump fell into this. He fell into the trap. I remember she would goad him. I mean, when she started goading him on the size of his rallies, he completely took the bait and started talking about that when there was a more substantive question that he never got around to addressing. And it was like she had her psychologist or psychiatrist friends had said, this is how you can bug the former president. And I was sorry about that. She ended up, her point was to try to come across as a likable person. And I think she succeeded. Did she misstate facts? Yes. Did she lay out a vision? for the future? No. She just basically was there. I'm not Donald Trump, and I'm a nice person.
And we have a caller. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to ask our guest today?
Hi. Just a comment on your last segment before the top of the hour. I think one of the reasons Israel is kind of, I don't want to say escalating, but protecting themselves like they should, is because I don't think they trust the Biden administration, and I think they're also worried that if there was a Kamala Harris administration, they can't trust the administration. That's why they're not telling the United States a lot of things. They also know that there's Iranian proxies or advocates in the Biden administration, and one example is Robert Malley, who's good friends with Antony Blinken, and there's Iranian people throughout the advocates throughout the administration. So Israel kind of has to act on their own. They can't let the U.S. know. And then, on the other hand, I want to give Israel what they need. But on the same token, any country that gives weapons to another country, I think probably does have, you know, might have the ability, the right to have a say in those weapons and what happens. I mean, if Israel could produce everything they needed on their own, and then, you know, they're a sovereign country, they can do what they need to do. You know, so that's one comment. And then another one is I heard a general on Fox News talking about how we three carrier task groups in the Middle East.
Hello?
Why aren't we hitting Iran? Why aren't we doing something more?
Hello?
Hey, Mike, for some reason you're not hearing this question, are you? Mike, can you hear me? Mike, can you hear me? Mike, can you hear me?
Yes, I'm back.
Do you hear the question?
No, the phone went dead for a minute.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm gonna let Eric answer the question then, and then we'll get back to you.
No, I think the caller is right. I think they're, you know, if I was Israel, I don't know how much confidence I'd have in the Biden administration for what they've shown, but then going into a Harris administration, yeah, I agree. They kind of probably know where they're going to stand, and it's not in a great place. I don't think that the U.S. is ever going to give up on Israel, at least not at this point. But I don't see Harris doing even what Biden would do, and let alone, you know, my guess is they're really wishing for a Trump administration to come back to help them out and kind of end these wars.
Right, but they have to, you know, they have to speak to all sides because they don't know for sure, so they have to kind of, you know, have relations with both sides, even though they do have an opinion. But like I said, I heard a top general yesterday on Fox News, General Keane, and he was saying how we should be doing something against Iran because we know they're the ones funding Hezbollah and the Houthis and a lot of the other groups. But on the same token, Vladimir Putin could say that. His people could start saying that. Look, all these Russian soldiers are being killed by American weapons being supplied, and European weapons being supplied to the Ukrainians. So we need to hit who's supplying the weapons. We need to hit the United States, or we need to hit the European allies. So you got to be careful about, you know, I mean, countries have supplied weapons to other countries for a long, long time. I mean, China supplied them to Vietnam, and they killed our soldiers, but we didn't attack China. So, I mean, you just have to be real careful about some of that stuff.
Thank you very much for calling in.
Thank you.
Mike, yeah, what do you think about should the U.S. be going after Iran in a larger fashion?
Well, there's Israel would like us to go after Iran. They would like, and what was funny is when I was a kid, when the Shah of Iran was running things, Iran was was the one country in the Middle East that would sell oil to Israel. It was like a partner with the Israelis in the Middle East. And when the Shah was overthrown and the Islamic Republic was established, well, that switched all of a sudden. And then, of course, it became it used the Israeli-Palestinian conflict.
the mullahs, the Shiite leadership, use that conflict in order to gain power, and it's a political type of card that they were able to play. So, the problem is Iran's a big country, and it's got a lot of friends and support, and we have a checkered history with that when we overthrew the CIA in 1954, overthrew the democratically elected government and imposed what we thought was too socialist for our what we wanted, and overthrew the prime minister and reinstated the Shah's autocrat, and they still remember that was the United States that did that. And what's funny, of course, is the socialists in Iran were not religious fanatics. They were more in line with the Israeli socialism than anything else. But we're now getting down to like 70 years ago, and chickens still come home to roost.
And what do you think about, it came out today, Trump announced that he was told by the U.S. government that Iran has got an assassination plot against him right now, and it is not tied to the other two plots. Is there something the U.S. should do about that?
Well, I'm not... that's a good question, because it's an allegation. It's not, there's no real proof that we're aware of it. Is there a reason why the Iranians would want to assassinate Trump? Yes. Yes, because of how he took out some of their leadership with Mr. Soleimani was the one that I think 2019 or so that, they just sent a missile in and blew him up. And so, yes, so Trump's, these are the type of people, there's been a fatwa, which is an assassination decree, against the guy who wrote the Satanic Verses, and, Salman Rushdie. And he's been living with that over his head, but then one day some guy tried to kill him, jumped on stage, and almost stabbed him to death. So, I'm not... just because as long as that government in Iran continues, we're going to have problems along that line. But I would also say there's other people. I noticed these. I was reading today the Secretary of Commerce for the United States said we need to extinguish Trump for good. Yes, yes, I mean vote him out, not extinguish him for good. So, yeah, no, there's Trump gets a lot of people very angry at him, and I'm not surprised that people are trying to take a shot at him. I am surprised that the, it's kind of funny. I am kind of surprised that it hasn't... there haven't been more attempts. I wouldn't be surprised if there would be something more coming down the road.
Well, I think at this point, too, when you look at, so you have U.S. intelligence basically saying that Iran is trying to, they come up with this plot, and it would be really, I think, at this point, during an election year where we're coming into to kind of destabilize things here, it would take the United States citizens would no longer be looking at what's going on so much in the Middle East, because this would cause chaos for weeks, if not months, during an election process. So, I think it is, if Iran could do something like that, if they were to succeed, it would allow Hezbollah, et cetera, to kind of be able to go on an offensive maybe that we wouldn't be ready for or wouldn't see coming, because the American people wouldn't be. There's a lot of outcry from this country, especially from the left, where they don't like being there. They think, Israel needs to pack up and leave. I've heard some pretty crazy things from people in this country. And I really see it would just create chaos here, if we lost.
We came, we, the assassination attempt at Butler, Pennsylvania. It was like we came within a quarter of an inch of a catastrophe for the United States, just to have the leading presidential candidate assassinated. And with the Republican convention the next week, who would they have nominated?
Right.
We came very close to... A friend of mine once said that he was talking about how passing the bar exam was like, he didn't think he had any problems, but he said once you got the results, it felt like he had been walking down, I think, Higuera Street, the Marsh Street railroad crossing in the dark, and a train roaring right past you, and realizing, oh, you almost got hit by a train. That was our the thing with the assassination attempts of Trump, is that we almost got hit by a train that would have stunned the country, stunned the world. And I'm not sure how we would have picked things up afterwards.
Well, the interesting part I see too is there's not a lot. You don't see the media covering this very much. And if this is true, is what intelligence is saying is true, this would be a major threat from Iran. If they wanted to this is all pans out, or if they know what they're talking about, they've intercepted communications, etc., which it sounds like maybe they have. This is literally Iran trying to destabilize the United States. And what is that? I don't know, in a Biden administration what he would want to do, but you would think there would be some response from the United States.
Right. I don't think right. Who knows what the United States, under President Biden, I have no idea. I don't know exactly. You'd have to ask Dr. Jill Biden, what would she do?
Right.
And the interesting thing is, if you type in Trump assassination attempt Iran, it's covered more by foreign media than it is by U.S. media, which I think is absolutely stunning. We're going to take a word from our sponsors and be back with more with Eric Gorham and Mike Nolan.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Liz Klayman, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The major averages finishing mixed with the Dow snapping its four-session winning streak as financial markets around the world take a pause following big recent moves. And gold surged on rate cut optimism. Tesla stock rose nearly 1%. Shares of the EV maker have risen nearly 12% since the Fed slashed interest rates last week. Also, a Baird analyst said he expects Tesla to deliver more vehicles than Wall Street is forecasting. Apple stock slipping 1% after at least three analysts issued reports expressing concern about sales of its new iPhone 16 lineup. The Dow winners, Microsoft, Salesforce, and Honeywell. The Dow decliners, Amgen, Caterpillar, and Goldman Sachs. The Dow falling 293 points. The Nasdaq up 8. S&P 500 lower by 11. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Hey, Donald Trump Jr. here. Central banks are buying gold at record amounts, and the trend is accelerating in 2024. They see the writing on the wall. The dollar is failing. Is gold the answer for you, too? To find out, get a free info kit from Birch Gold Group by texting the word SHELTER to 989898. That's SHELTER to the number 989898 to get your free info kit from Birch Gold, the only gold company I trust, right now.
Message and data rates may apply.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Uncle Ed's Outfitters is now open in a new location.
Hello.
In a
Atascadero at the Oaks Plaza near Guest House Grill. Offering new indoor archery range available 24 hours for members. Great for kids' parties, practices, friendly competition. We have an in-house certified gunsmith and all staff are CRPA, NRA, and USCCA firearms instructors for your educational needs. Uncle Ed's Outfitters in the Oaks Plaza in Atascadero, open Tuesday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Get ready for the hunt at the Three Speckled Hens Antiques and Vintage Market. Friday and Saturday, October 4th and 5th at the Paso Robles Event Center. Gather your friends and search for that one-of-a-kind vintage, antique, or repurposed treasure. Under the oak trees at Frontier Park and inside the Ponderosa Building. Mark your calendars and spread the word. It's the Three Speckled Hens Antique and Vintage Show, October 4th and 5th. For tickets, threespeckledhens.com.
Hello.
That's threespeckledhens.com.
Hello.
The sound off lines are open at 238-5775.
We're on a we're coming KPRL. Back on from a break.
The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Feely. I'm the host of Sound Off on Wednesday and Thursday afternoon. And we are back with Mike Nolan and Eric Gorham. And Eric, what do you think? I'm going to ask you, who do you think has done a better job? Let's first talk about it on the economy. Who do you think did a better job on the economy, Trump or the Biden-Harris?
Honestly, and I've been thinking about this a lot the last week, and I go even back a little farther because you have 16 years of almost Democrat running the federal government. Yeah, 4 years of Trump in which the Dems on all sides, Senate, Congress, etc., everybody tried to undermine everything he did. He couldn't even get a full cabinet. He couldn't fill all his seats. They basically tried to make him a lame duck for 4 years. So what's interesting to me, and I know this is a little broader answer than you were wanting, but what's interesting to me, if we look back at the problems we have now over the last 16 years, who was in charge? And who made Trump, tried to make Trump the most ineffective president, but he still had an effect? Because to me, when you look at the economy and you look at, if you look at Wall Street and Main Street, especially Wall Street, and this is how I trade. This is, you want to, you know, this is an E.F. Hutton moment here right now. But to me, every in Wall Street, every action is the overreaction. So if there's good or bad, things go up and down. And I think Trump, a lot of the good he did was an overreaction by Wall Street and a little bit by Main Street. Not that he didn't have good policy, et cetera. People were looking forward to those policies. And like I said, to me, I trade on, you know, I'm more of a day trader, so I'm looking at reactions, whether good or bad. It's always an overreaction. And I think that's partially how Trump succeeded was, I think he did have good policy, but it's always an overreaction. But you look at the main fault here, and I really think you could go back to Obama and Biden because they basically ran the country for 16 years.
And Mike, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I would, listening to your lead in Ronald Reagan talking in the 1970s is feels like a breath of fresh air. I think you can trace things back to the 1988-89 when old George Bush got elected. Things started to change then, but Clinton became a better president when the Republicans took control of Congress. Mm-hmm. And there were a lot of good reforms that were put through, but there was we've been on a long decline in from the federal government. So it's sad to say, but you know, you have Trump was a breath of fresh air for 4 years, but I remember when the day he was getting sworn in. I remember the effort to overturn the election in the Electoral College in 2017 to try to get electors not to vote for Trump. And I also remember that the day that Trump was elected, getting a robocall from Barack Obama saying, we gotta send money in to stop Donald Trump. There was none of this, there was no honeymoon. There was, we have to stop him right now at the very, we're going to fight every minute against him. And they did. So with And that's the point. In this last election cycle, you've seen they've thrown everything at Trump. And what's really funny is there's nothing you can say about him that hasn't been said already. And so in past elections, we looked at October surprises. There's no surprise for Trump because everybody has a pretty good read. Everything negative about him has been released. The October surprise we could see is in the international field, where for one reason or another, somebody decides we have to throw our military weight into the conflicts around the different conflicts around the world.
If we end up in a war, who do you think's going to win, Mike? I mean, not the election, not the war. Middle East goes into a major war and we're more involved. Do you think it will be Harris, or do you think it'll be Trump's benefit?
Well, it would focus attention away from domestic concerns and would focus attention on, we need a serious president because there's a crisis brewing here. And what Donald Trump has in his favor is he was president. We know he was, and in foreign affairs, he was a very serious president. And for the vice president, she doesn't have that background for her. It's once her campaign basically is. I remember they said this about Earl Warren. The way he got elected governor is his campaign managers sat him down and taught him how to smile. and Kamala is a very engaging and very effervescent personality on television or on the. Download or any ads or things like that. But the question is there real substance there? And a serious conflict would require we need somebody who's got some substance, who knows how evil the world is.
And just to play devil's advocate, I do agree with you, but what you generally hear in these situations is, we're in a war, a change of administration would be detrimental to that war, even though it wouldn't be. I think that would be the talking points for Kamala's in her race. I think against Trump would be we can't afford to change things over right now. I'm already here. I can slide right in. But I do think we didn't have this under Trump. I think people knew that he was serious on these things, and he would, he kind of ran on he wasn't going to let wars happen. It didn't matter if it was us and other countries. He was a serious guy. He wasn't going to let it happen. I think people just took him serious. I think other leaders took him seriously, and they didn't want to push that button where I think we've seen with Biden is as soon as Trump left, you had Russia, you had all these other countries saying, well, I don't think it's as serious. I think they're going to let it go. And we saw that. And I'm not saying that's a dim thing because we saw it with Bush. People didn't take Bush seriously, Bush Jr. Or Senior or Obama. I mean, I think Trump was the first president that said, this guy may... he's overwhelming force or something against us. We just better not do it.
Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to add to the conversation?
Oh, thank you for taking my call. Real quickly, I was listening to Overseas Radio, and they have translated the debate, and they have added, character... actors who say what each of the candidates said. So you have a female interpreter for the statements of the vice president, which is a compassionate, thoughtful sounding voice, and then the male voice would be characterizing a more sort of angry, really putting in the acting in there. So that's Overseas. So the media are really on a coordinated thing, because you could hope that Overseas you would just get the regular translation without the throwing in by the interpreter. That's all I have to say. Thank you for your show.
Thank you for calling in. And I'm going to... Do either of you want to respond to that?
No, I think every country is going to have its bias, you know, and they're going to try to portray. I mean, it's propaganda for some countries, and some countries are going to report honestly.
Yeah, I think other countries are terrified of the United States under Trump, in the sense that he's going to look after the interests of the United States. I was, you know, we were talking about Israel earlier on, and I still, as a kid, remember the USS Liberty getting torpedoed and bombed and shot. 34 Americans killed by the Israeli Air Force when they bombed one of our ships in the Mediterranean. And the U.S. government, like, yeah, they made a mistake. And the Israeli, yeah, we made a mistake, and that was it. And the surviving crew, 200 crew members were injured in this. The ship was almost sunk. And I guess the point is people want, if something like that happened when Trump was president, there would have been a real penalty to pay, even if it was one of our friends by accident.
Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to ask our guest today?
Hello?
Yes, welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to ask our guest today?
I like how Trump speaks his mind. A lot of other countries are probably like afraid of that. So that's just all I got to say.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I think what most other leaders see in Trump is a guy that will follow through. He'll go out there. He's kind of pointed out, I'll do X, Y, and Z. Well, you don't see a lot of presidents saying that in office. They wait for the current something to occur. They respond to it in whatever time, whether it's immediately, whether it's due time. Trump was just kind of out there saying, I'm not going to let this stuff happen. And world leaders took it to heart.
And what do you got? There's a lot of allegations that there has been the government, the U.S. government, invited sheriffs throughout the country to go to Washington to discuss terror threats because so many terrorists have been coming over the border in the last few years. Who do you think, think about both groups, the Biden-Harris and the Trump on the border?
Oh, well. So, you know, I think Trump, there's a lot of things. Biden, Harris, and even at this point where Harris says she can fix things, well, a lot can be done with executive orders. And a lot, what we saw with Trump, a lot could be said just by words. People held off. I mean, people didn't want to get stuck in northern Mexico from other countries. They didn't want to be stuck there. They just quit coming. As soon as Biden took office, and basically said, we have open borders, which they now to some degree deny, people immediately started flooding back in. But a lot of this, you know, I've heard Biden say, oh, well, with the Senate, with Congress, blah, 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 there's not much I can do. No, he has a pen that he can use real effectively, and his words and actions can be real effective. Trump's words and actions were very effective, and he actually didn't do that much. It was just people didn't want to get stuck in northern Mexico.
And Mike, what do you think?
That's exactly right. We were talking about the pagers and bombing things, and I think earlier on we were talking about maybe doing that to the cartels in Mexico. But the difference, of course, between that is that we have a peace treaty with Mexico from 1848 that's still in effect. So one of the provisions of that peace treaty is that each side can fortify the border. Mm-hmm. Because people were saying, oh, build the wall. Well, that's just a fortification, which part of the agreement we have with Mexico at the end of the Mexican War. So, the Biden administration, the first thing they did was stop the border construction, and Eric's exactly right, they opened up the border. The terrorist threat, though, when you go online and you hear, Kamala Harris is the United States Senator, questioning a nominee for a federal judgeship over his membership in this bizarre group called the Knights of Columbus, and which is a Catholic fraternal order of which doesn't have any very patriotic organization, you know. But the terrorist threats, I think, for a lot of Democrats, sounds like, oh, wait, too many of these people coming over the border are Catholics. No. And seriously, as reports have come out that the FBI, when they're looking at terrorism under the Biden administration, they're looking at Catholics who prefer the traditional Tridentine Mass, you know, the pre-Vatican II Mass, where the priest was all in Latin, and that was identified as a suspect group, and you realize, no, this is turning things on their head. I have to say, the Knights of Columbus was the organization that lobbied.
We have about
5 seconds. Oh, they lobbied to put "Under God" in the Pledge of Allegiance and succeeded.
And we'll be back after a word from our sponsors.
Driven to be the best.
The veteran-owned Ted Miles Motors in Atascadero.
The cars you want, the people you like.
Serving you for 49 consecutive years.
Just plain good deals without the hype.
Ted Miles Motors, same location since 1975.
Selling cars the way it should be done. And giving you service that's second to none.
Driven to be the best.
Ted Miles Motors, in business for 49 years, has sold over 13,000 vehicles and is the longest established used car dealer in San Luis Obispo County. So whether buying or selling a car, truck, van, SUV, motorhome, or classic car, visit their easy-to-navigate website, TedMilesMotors.com, or their showroom, 7380 El Camino Real in Atascadero, next to Farrell's Auto Repair.
Driven to be the best!
Ted Miles Motors, Atascadero.
As the markets have their ups and downs, real estate remains one of the most stable assets in everyone's portfolio. Hi, this is Cindy Mims, owner broker of Colony Mortgage, voted best mortgage company in North County 3 years running. We offer conventional FHA, VA, and reverse mortgages and 100% purchase loans for first-time home buyers. Are you a builder and tired of the red tape when dealing with banks and expensive hard money loans? I have a great new option. Or are you 62 years or older? You can possibly eliminate your monthly mortgage payment and get cash in your pocket. At Colony Mortgage, we have hometown service with competitive rates. We have years of experience with creative financing to find that right loan for you. If it's credit issues stopping you, let us help. We move from our 20-year Atascadero location and now offer two convenient locations to meet personally in Atascadero and Paso Robles. Call 805-466-3598. Thank you for supporting your local businesses.
Hi, I'm Seth Peek.
And I'm Ryan Peek.
And we're the Peek Brothers.
Hey there, glad you could make it. Come on in.
Wow, your kitchen looks amazing. So does your whole house.
Thanks. We just had our cabinets refinished by Peek Painting. They did such a fantastic job, we had them come back and paint our whole living area.
I guess you could say they have your stamp of approval.
Yes, sir, just like everyone else on Google and Yelp. Booking a quote is easy. Just go to peakpainting.com. That's peekpainting.com. And book a time and day that fits your schedule. No back and forth phone tag, just click and book.
Sounds too easy.
Hi, I'm Seth Peek.
And I'm Ryan Peek.
And we're the Peek Brothers. From cabinet painting to interior painting.
Exterior painting, both residential and commercial.
We're your go-to family-owned and operated painting company serving all of Slo County. We look forward to working with you. To learn more and book your appointment, visit Peek Painting at peekpainting.com.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veeley. I'm your host on Wednesday and Thursdays. Now, tomorrow, we'll have Eric Gorham. He is going to be hosting the show for me. Eric, who are you having on?
The first half hour, we'll have Randall Jordan, the chair of the Republican Party. He'll be talking about the Republican slate. And then after that, we'll have Kelly Reeves, and she's going to be, we'll be talking about firearms and, mental illness, actually. So it'll be an interesting mix. And some of this will be not to the far of mental illness, but it could just be a handicapped. It could be a lot of things, or maybe when you should put that gun down, etc. So it should be an interesting conversation.
Talking about firearms, what did you think of Harris and her comment on Oprah Winfrey? If If anyone came into my house, I have guns, I'd shoot them.
Right. And I thought the interesting part of that was I've only seen clips of that. I didn't watch it in its entirety, but I've seen multiple clips where you see Oprah going, "Can you shut up? Did you really say that?" And she's rolling her eyes and like, "I'm trying to help you. I'm on your side. Just shut. You're killing yourself." So that's what I got a lot of that out of there. And it's interesting, even in the debate where she said, you know, nobody's coming for your guns. But then you have her for years saying she wants mandatory buybacks on assault weapons. And, you know, the problem in this country is what's an assault weapon. There, in reality, you can't own an assault weapon. There is some states where you can very heavily regulated own machine guns, but it's very heavily regulated. They know where they are. They know who's using them, etc. But, you know, what the definition of assault weapon could be anything, which is a very slippery slope. And I think Ms. Harris knows that, and it is a way to start taking guns away.
Mike, I have noticed that there is this. I do respect politicians that learn something about something and change their minds on an issue. But do you believe that Kamala has done too much changing of her views as she runs for office?
Oh, I think she's pretty well committed for an extreme liberal left progressive ideology. I think she's. She would follow that. It would only be limited by her feeling how what she could get away with it by restrained by public opinion. So I think there's a natural. I just remember the middle of the road Democrats I voted for. Once they got into office, they all went progressive. They, you know, whether it was Carter and. I never voted for Bill Clinton, but I thought he would be a middle-of-the-road Democrat. And he only became middle-of-the-road when the Republicans, Newt Gingrich, forced him to do that. And I remember Al Gore was, again, I didn't vote for him, but Al Gore was considered a middle-of-the-road kind of conservative Democrat. And, no, I remember he campaigned as a progressive. So I would expect he would veer far left.
And I think Mike, when you listen to her, and you if you know the phrases, and she says she, you know, she hasn't. What was the phrase? She hasn't
changed her values.
She hasn't changed her values, but if you look at what her values are, and you look at some of her sayings that she repeats over and over and over again, they're all socialist sayings. They're socialist values. She was raised by a socialist. So my question to her, and you keep hearing people saying, well, she's not doing interviews, and you hear the other side, well, she is, but she's not being asked hard questions. She's not being pushed. You keep repeating socialist sayings. You're saying you haven't lost your values. What are your values? Are they socialist values? What are they? And why did you change your mind on everything all of a sudden? It's to get elected.
No, Eric, let me correct you. Her parents were not socialists. They were Marxists.
Okay, there you go. But a lot of her sayings come from a socialist handbook. There's multiple that she goes around always saying, and I don't think they sound like great sayings, but they're socialist sayings and they're Marxist sayings, and I don't think people understand that.
No, her dad is a well-known Marxist economist from Jamaica. And she was raised by her mom, but she was fairly left-wing too. I mean, so. I'm just saying that I don't expect you can expect more of that than if she got elected president. And if you can just see though what her attitude though on issues is say what's necessary to win the election. And I was reading how as the state attorney general made a big push to arrest parents for when their children were truants from school, excessive truancy. And of course, the one woman they had arrested in Orange County was a African American woman whose daughter was hospitalized with sickle cell anemia, and because she was hospitalized, the school said, "Well, that's not good enough." And they had her arrested by the gang task force, and it took 2 years of her to get her charges dismissed. So But it was a great soundbite. Yes, we're going after deadbeat parents who don't let their kids go to school.
Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to add to the conversation?
Yeah, I've got a question. God forbid Trump gets assassinated, but if he does, what happens with the election? Who takes his place? Who says who takes his place? What happens with the votes that have already been casted for Trump and moving forward with those votes?
Yeah, let me jump in because I've got the historical background. In 1912, the Republican candidate, incumbent vice president, died before the election with William Howard Taft. And James S. Sherman was the vice president. And what happened was, after the election, the Republican electors, the Republican National Committee nominated the president of Columbia University, Nicholas Murray Butler, to be the vice president. And so he got the electoral votes, from the Republican electoral votes. So what would happen is that if Trump, or if any presidential candidate dies after the election, the electors will probably follow what the National Committee would say. Hello?
Yeah, what if they die before the election, though? It would be Vance?
Well, you're still, no, not necessarily, but remember, you're voting for presidential electors. So you have, the point was that even if you died before the election, you're voting for presidential electors, and the presidential electors who are elected would support whether it's a Democrat or Republican, they would get together and they would support their nominee. You had Horace Greeley died after the election, and the electors all, in 1872, he had lost the election to the Ulysses Grant, and the Democrats scattered their votes all over. The one thing rule that came out was a few Democratic presidential electors voted for him out of sympathy, even though he had died, and the Congress refused to count those votes. You can't vote for a dead person. He was unqualified.
I like that idea. You can't vote for a dead person.
Yeah.
I would just you just wonder if dead people can vote anymore. But I think, it would be interesting if, I would imagine, we saw that with Biden and Harris that, Biden didn't die, but in my opinion, he was 8 points behind going into a debate with Trump, and it didn't look good for him. So they put Harris up. I know the DNC, their rules are a little different than the RNC. So it would be interesting. I would imagine it would need to be Vance, though, if to take the lead. If Trump was, God forbid, something happened today or tomorrow, it'd be hard, really hard to stick somebody, because somebody still has to go out and campaign every day.
Right, but remember, in conspiracy, not all conspiracy theories are theories. There was a conspiracy to kill Abraham Lincoln, mm-hmm. because there was also somebody supposed to kill the vice president too, and but he didn't do it. And the Secretary of State, who almost killed the Secretary of State in 1865. So, I would think Vance needs Secret Service protection as well. Because the people are going to try to affect the election. Again, 1968, Saran, a motive for killing Robert F. Kennedy was that Kennedy was in favor of selling jets to Israel. And the Saran, who's from the Middle East, thought that he went nuts over that. And it was an issue that was not on anybody's radar.
Right. No, it's always an interesting talk to see what happens, and this is, I guess, the time where we're going to find out. Not that we're going to find out because something's going to happen, but we've had now, two assassination attempts and apparently a nation plotting to assassinate. I think the one thing we may get from the media is what happens in these types of situations, because I'm sure there's a lot of legal scholars that might find that interesting.
Right.
This is a very, very interesting election period. I think one of the most interesting in my lifetime. Mike, I want to thank you for coming on today. Have a great wedding coming up. And Eric, thank you for coming on today and for covering for me tomorrow.
All right.
All right.
This hour of Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM was brought to you by Farm Supply, serving your fencing, irrigation, and livestock needs since 1950. Farm Supply, for the farmer in you.
AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.